for this one. Hallelujah. First Sam, what are you clapping about? I'm just kidding. Listen, you know, what's the most painful things ever happened to you? Death of a loved one, painful divorce. Maybe you lost your job. Or maybe you got the diagnosis. Amen. I'm telling you. Listen, Cindy and I have been there when the worst day of our lives hit. But here's the thing. What's the difference? What's the difference? Because you know what? Everybody, some point in time, is going to have a worst day of your life. When something you didn't expect, something you surely didn't want, something that you didn't think would ever happen in your life, and all of a sudden, pow, it hits you. Man, I've been there where it hits you and you feel like it hits you right in the gut. Excuse me for being so crude, but you know what I mean. I mean, man, it just about takes the breath away from you. You know, so everyone's going to do that. And see, defeat or victory, though, depends on what do you do on the worst day of your life? What do I do when that hits me? Because, you know, how many of you know that the thing that hits you, when it hits you, you didn't have any control of that. If you had, you just said, stay out there. Stay away from me. And I wish I could tell you, as a born-again Christian, spirit-filled Christian, I wish I could tell you that you'll never have a worse day. But you know what? It's not true. But what I do want you to be is be prepared for the worst day. 1 Samuel 30. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag, and they had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Stop there a minute. Boy. You think about it. Here's David. He's out fighting the Lord's battles. He's out doing the will of God. He's out doing what God called and anointed him to do. He's doing the right thing. He's out there. He's in the middle of God's will. He's right where God wants him. And pow, all of a sudden something hits him. Something hits him. And he comes back and he finds out, while I'm out trying to defend others, while I'm out trying to meet their needs, while I'm out trying to take care of them, the enemy's come in. And he's attacked my family. He's attacked the people that I love. And you know he loved them, but they loved them because it said they, man, when you cry, have you ever cried till you just can't, I mean, you ain't got no more tears. I mean, you just cried and sorrowed till they, I mean, there was no strength left. These were mighty men. Listen, one of these men killed 1,000 men by himself. You think how much he must have grieved to get to the point where he said there was no strength left in him. And you know, when life hits you like this on your worst day, when it hits you, it's the way it feels. It feels like it just sucks all the strength out of you. I mean, here are men that would think nothing of jumping down into a pit and fighting a lion barehanded. And yet this thing that happened to them, it took the very strength out of them. There's nothing left in them. Nothing left in them. They just sat down. And it says, David's two wives had been captured. Anahom and Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. So just add that to the list. One more thing. Here you are. David's trying to do the right thing. David has raised up these mighty men who came to him, you know, and they forgot when they came to him that they were in debt and distressed. A bunch of losers. Come on. And yet when they got with David, they got around the word and the anointing, and there was a strength that came back up into them. They became mighty men. But you know, they forgot about all that. Because all they could think about was this terrible tragedy. Something had hit me. Let me ask you, has something hit you? Are you having a worse day? Are you in the midst of a worse day in your life, just like them? and you have cried your tears, and you've cried out to God, and you feel like there is absolutely nothing left to do that I can do or I know to do. Amen. Well, the first thing that we need to do, now you keep your place there because we'll be coming back and forth there. Turn over to James chapter 1. The first thing to do is recognize, where is the problem coming from? Where is the problem coming from? James chapter 1, 13, it says, when tempted, that word tempted there means test and trials, no one should say, God is testing and trying me. Does no one include you? For God cannot be tested by evil, nor does he test, tempt, or try anyone. Are you listening to me? Listen, whatever it is that caused the worst day of your life, whatever the circumstance, whatever the problem, whatever may have attacked your body, your marriage, your family, your finances, whatever it is, I want to tell you the first thing you get it settled is God is not in that. That's not, God didn't bring that on you to learn, to teach you something. Now, hopefully, we will learn something in every situation we go through. Because if you don't, I'm speaking generically, okay, you're being foolish. It's foolish not to learn in every situation. I want to learn even from my mistakes, especially from my mistakes. Because I don't want to repeat them. Isn't that true? So it's a given, hopefully, that we learn. Now, some people, unfortunately, do not. Because they don't know what to do on the worst day of their life. And they blame God, they get mad, they get into self-pity, they start feeling sorry for themselves. And this is where David and them started out at. They cried until they couldn't cry anymore. I mean, I understand the feeling. Because when life hits you like that, you want to cry. But how many know crying don't get it? Crying doesn't change anything. You can cry just like these men. These were big old men of war. These were some tough guys, man. And it said they cried, but nothing happened because they cried. You can feel sorry for yourself. You can get down and say, it's not fair. Well, it wasn't fair. Here's David. They're out trying to do the will of God. You're out trying to live for God. And life hits you. It's not fair. I remember we went to see the doctor and Cindy got the diagnosis of cancer. It didn't seem fair. We just come off the mission field. That didn't seem fair. I mean, if you ask me, I didn't think it was fair. But you know what? You have a worse day. Their day, you have worse day. They hit you. And you feel just like David. But what are you going to do? The first thing is recognize this. Listen, God's not in that. God's not in that. God didn't bring that on you. God doesn't want that on you. Amen? We live in a fallen world. Things happen. Now notice, he says, don't get mad. I said, don't get mad and blame God. First thing you got to do is get an action plan. Otherwise, your emotions will rule over your decisions. First point I want you to remember. Get you an action plan. Otherwise, your emotions will rule over your decisions. And I found out when my emotions are guiding my decisions, most of my decisions end up compounding the problem. Don't you? You do something quickly. You do something brashly or rashly. Whether you say something or you do something, it's usually the wrong thing. Are you listening? So the first thing is get you an action plan. Otherwise, what's going to happen? Your emotions are going to rule over your decisions. So the first thing you got to do is quiet your emotions. Now, how are we going to do that? Look back over in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in his spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself and found strength in the Lord his God. The first thing you got to do is you got to quiet your emotions. And how are you going to do that? He says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, how do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? Well, one of the primary ways is to praise and worship God. You say, but I don't feel like it. We already know that. Yeah, but I know that. We're talking about quieting your emotions. You remember in Acts 16:25, another pair of guys that were trying to do the will of God? Paul and Silas. They were out preaching the gospel. They were sent as special messengers, special envoys of God. They were sent there. They were in the perfect will of God. What happened? The people rose up. They beat them. They lied against them. And they put them in jail. I'd say they were having a worse day. It said, but at midnight. Oh, hallelujah. At midnight, Paul turned to Silas and said, Silas, I don't know why God let this happen to us. I know I saw Jesus in that vision, and I know he told me to go. I don't understand it. And Silas said, I know it, Paul. You think we'll ever get out of here? No, it says at midnight, they sang praises to God. Listen, don't you know their emotions were talking to them? Don't you know the pain in their body was talking to them? Don't you know their worst day was talking to them, saying, this is it, buddy. You've had it now. This is it. Some God you're serving, look where you landed you. What good did it do you to obey God? Look where it landed you. Look where it's got you. You were better off before. You were better off when you know when you weren't even serving this Jesus. Come on. It talks to you, don't it? And so the first thing is we quiet our emotions. And what is it? We encourage ourselves. You know, one of the ways David encouraged himself, he began to sing some psalms. He was a psalmist. He began to sing. You look throughout, if we had time, you could look throughout the different times where David was going through things in his life, and there's a correlating psalm over there. And that's how he encouraged himself. When he was in the cave, you ever feel like you're in the cave? He was in the cave. He began to encourage himself. He said, I will exalt the Lord my God. He is my rock and my shield and my strength. He will deliver me. Come on. You know that's how David, he began to encourage himself. Why? Otherwise your emotions take over. You start feeling sorry for yourself. And the next thing you know, this old mouth gets in motion. And you get to complaining. And you get to whining. You know, you ever been around somebody whining? You know, it's funny, isn't it? When you're doing the whining, it doesn't sound so bad. But when you hear somebody else doing it, it's awful, isn't it? Maybe we need to remember that. The second thing that we need to understand is we have to seek God. After we encourage ourselves, what? We begin to worship God. Listen, put on some worship music. You're having a worship. Put on some worship music if you have to, and sing with it. Get your favorite worship. Begin to extol God. Begin to worship God. Begin to declare, God, you're great in my life. You are my strength. You are my deliverer. You are my healer. You are my provider. I trust in you, oh God. My eyes are upon you. Oh, and I worship Him. And I feel my life and my circumstance with the presence of God. You ever notice how, you know, bad news brings a presence with it? Doesn't it? There's a heaviness that comes with it. There's an anxiety and a fear that will come. Bam, it hits you. You know, it's like you're walking along. Sometimes something just blindsides you. But you know, when you begin to worship God, what? There's another presence that comes in. Oh, it comes in. Amen. And the Bible's, the psalmist David wrote this in Psalm 16. He said, in your presence, there is what? Fullness of joy. Oh, there's strength starts coming in you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I begin to worship God and God begins to come in. I begin to remind myself. So the second thing is what? We seek God. Look in verse 8 there. It says, or verse 7, excuse me. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord. Listen, when the bad news hits, after you quiet your emotions, the next thing to do is get quiet, seek God, and say, okay, God, what is the plan? What is my response to this to be? What do I need to do now? Keep your place there. Turn back over to James again. You know, James is a good book when you're going through it. Isn't that right? A lot of wisdom here when you're going through it. Verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Oh, boy. Because you know that the testing, the trying of your faith, develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its perfect work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, here you go. When we seek the Lord, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So the first thing that you need to do after you quiet your emotions is to seek God. Say, God, what's the plan here? Isn't that what David did? It says he inquired of the Lord. Instead of feeling sorry for him, staying in that self-pity and all that kind of thing and talking about how it wasn't fair and all that, he got his emotions quiet. He worshiped God. He received strength in his spirit, strength in his life from the presence of God, reminding himself of who God was in his life, reconnecting to God. Because, you know, when you're having a worse day, I mean when something really hits you, something turns your world upside down, I want to tell you what, for just the briefest of moments, it's like there's a disconnect there. You feel like you're disconnected from the joy of the Lord. You feel like you're disconnected from the peace of God. You feel like you're disconnected from faith. And see, that's why you go into worship and prayer, and you know what you do? Worship, you get back reconnected. It's not that you've been this. It just seems that way. You get reconnected again. You begin to remind yourself of the greatness of God, of the faithfulness of God, of the promise of God, of the power of God, of the goodness of God. Boy, I'm telling you what, won't be long. Strength will begin to flow back into you. And then you seek God and say, God, you show me. Now, what's my response to be? What do I need to do here? How do I need to pray? How do I need to conduct myself? What do I need to be? What needs to be coming out of my mouth? Are you listening? We're talking about what to do on the worst day of your life. What to do on the worst day. Quiet your emotions. Worship God. Seek God for strength and for wisdom and direction. God, we just read in James, he said, if anybody lacks wisdom. I'm going to tell you, usually, that especially initially, when the worst day of your life happens, I mean, that's the time when you hadn't got an abundance of wisdom. Isn't that right? But here's the thing. He said, you seek God. You seek God. God, what am I to do here? Because see, if you stay in your emotions, you will never make progress. In a time like this, your emotions are the least trustworthy guide. It's true. You know, they will tell you, even in training people in emergency situations, like firemen and, you know, and EMTs and so forth like that, one of the first things you're going to have to learn to do is to control your emotions in an emergency situation, even in the natural. Because if you don't, you won't make clear decisions. You won't make right decisions. And, of course, you make a wrong decision in that situation and somebody dies. But you know what? Some of these things that attack us, if we make a wrong decision, we die too. And we wonder sometimes, well, I don't understand it. They were a good people. They really loved God. What happened? They were a casualty. Are you listening? We're in warfare. In case you forget, we're not on Christian vacation. That's up there in heaven. But we're in warfare down here. Amen? And so here's the thing I'm trying to help you. You're going to have a worse day. Maybe you're going through one now, but you're going to have a worse day, and you're going to need to get wisdom and direction from God. Then the third thing here is magnify God's power rather than your circumstance. Now see, when it hits you, boy, everybody, you know, you turn on the news now, what are you going to know you're going to hear about? How bad it all is. The economy's bad. And it's going to get worse. And not only are we going to be in debt now, we're going to be in debt for the rest of our lives. We're never going to be able to dig out from under it. We've had it. You've had it. They've had it. And if you haven't had it, just wait around because you're going to get it. Something to that effect, isn't it? I'm kind of summing it up. That's what I've heard. So you know what? Here's the thing. You got to decide, you know, what am I going to do? I've decided I'm going to magnify God's power, God's promise, rather than my circumstance. Amen. And I know this is one way that David encouraged himself. He said, you know what? He said, man, I'm going to tell you what. I remember Goliath. I can see him sitting there, man, after he got cried out. He said, wait a minute. I remember Goliath. I remember the lion and the bear. I remember all the victories when I led the army of Israel out that God gave me. I remember how with just a few, he gave me victory over many. I remember when the prophet came down and spoke the word of the Lord and poured the anointing oil on me, and God said that I was his chosen one. Well, listen, you are God's chosen one too. You've been anointed too. He remembered all that, and he said, bless God, this is not my end. This is not my end. God didn't anoint me for this. He anointed me to rule and to reign. He said that was the word that he had given me. So this cannot defeat me. Turn to 2 Timothy. Let's read a scripture over there. Y'all getting anything out of this? I want to encourage you, and also for you to learn something here. What to do? Because if you're not going through a worse day, you'll have one. And I'm not prophesying that. I don't have to. If you've lived any time, you know what I'm talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 18. Listen. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Whew. I like Paul. I do. I like Paul. He can be rough sometimes. Boy, I'm telling you. And he can be tough sometimes. But he knew what it took to get victory. And he said, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. Man, that's what I'm saying. God, you will rescue me from every evil attack. I was not called to go down. I was not called to be defeated. I was not called to be taken out just because the enemy has brought a surprise attack on me. Amen. Amen. Magnify God's power over your circumstance. The fourth thing, obey the wisdom of the Word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of God's Word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 10, it says 200 men. Well, we'll back up to the latter part of verse 8. God, he said, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, God answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. So David and the 600 men, he got direction with him, went to Besor Ravine, where some stayed behind, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine. But David and 400 men continued in the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and they gave him water to drink and food to eat. Part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins he ate and was revived, for he had not eaten food or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. David asked him, to whom do you belong and where do you come from? He said, I'm an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kerethites and the territory belonging to Judah. Oh, Negev. And we burned Ziklag. Notice when he obeyed the direction of the Holy Spirit, notice the providence of God here. It led him right to this one individual, the only individual that could tell him exactly who did it and where they were. Coincidence? I don't think so. When he obeyed the word of the Lord and the leading. And listen, God will give you wisdom about things. I remember when Cindy got the diagnosis about her cancer. We just got off the mission field. We didn't have two nickels to rub together. Let alone any idea how we was going to pay for any of the medical part. We didn't have a clue. I said, we didn't have a clue. Some of y'all looking at it like that was the easiest thing in the world. It wasn't that easy. You know. From a distance, everything looks easy, doesn't it? You know, you ever seen people do something athletic on the field, you know, at a very high level? They make it look easy, but until you get out there on those parallel bars. And you're like, oh, I can't even get off the ground. How do they do all that? But, I mean, that was a big deal. I don't know, you know, what the bills would run to. 80, 90,000, 100,000. It's easy to run it up. You know, we had no idea. But you know what? God in his, you know what we did? We sought God. Said, God, you got a plan here. You've got a way here. You've got a way for us to to escape. You've got a provision here. We sought God, and God provided a way for us. And we end up, how much we end up paying out of the whole thing?
Actually, nothing, because we got a bill for $1,000, and God even provided that.
Yeah. That's when we got the $1,000 from what was from Africa. Yeah. So it only cost us $1,000 out of all of it, and then God sent an offering from Africa. You ever got an offering from Africa? I never got one since. I'd never got one before, and I've never got one after. I've sent some offerings to Africa, but I've never gotten one back. And I haven't gotten one since. You know why? I don't need one. But I'm telling you what. Listen, God directed us. God showed us the providence of God. If you'll respond rightly, the providence, you'll find the providence of God. The grace of God will be there. And just what you need, when you need it, God will provide it. And David needed to know who and where. And he finds this guy out in the middle of nowhere. They stumble across him. In other words, what it was, God was leading them. Why? Because he responded correctly. He quieted his emotions. He worshiped God. He received strength from God. He inquired of God, God, what's my next step? He heard the word of the Lord. He obeyed it. He followed the leading and the wisdom of the Spirit, and it brought him right where he needed to be. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? David asked him, verse 15, can you lead me down to this raiding party? Of course, we already know what the answer is on that. The guy said, well, you swear before your God you're not going to kill me. This guy was pretty smart. He said, and I'll take you down to them. So he led David down. And there they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. Now, isn't this something? David caught them at just the most vulnerable time, because they were outnumbered. He caught them at just the right time. Listen, when you follow God, when you listen to God in His Spirit, He will bring you not only into situations where the divine providence in God will take hold, but He'll bring you into places where it's the perfect timing of God. You'll connect with who you need to connect with. He'll bring the provision that He needs to bring to you. It will happen in your life. And you'll look at that and you'll go, wow. Man, I look back and see times when God did this for us in our lives. And I look back and I think, wow. Now, nothing as serious as the cancer thing. But I remember us going back onto the mission field. We were going back. We had two small children in diapers. We were going back. We had no money. Everybody say no money. No money in our pocket. We landed in Buenos Aires, a city of 12 million people. No money in our pockets. Two babies in diapers and 16 pieces of luggage, no car, and house was 5 hours away. It gave you something to think about. High in the world. I can't pay for somebody to take me 5 hours because I ain't got no money. Hello? And you know what? We come through. We are trusting God. Remember that? We can't. You wanting to come up, aren't you? I got you stirred up.
He's leaving out details.
Well,
it's not that we were irresponsible. It's 2 minutes to 12. And we got on the airplane with no money. We had money in our pocket when we left Montgomery. When we got down to Miami, however, we had overweight luggage. And it took all but a quarter of our money. I mean, it came down, it was like $299.75 for the overweight luggage that we had to pay, or we couldn't leave. You know, what were we going to do? Leave it there? I mean, we would have left. I mean, that was our belongings, you know. And so we got there with a quarter. So it wasn't zero. It was a quarter.
Are you sure? That might have been when we were coming back.
Oh, you're right.
That's when we were coming back. That's another story.
I'm so sorry. I take that back. No, we did. We got there with no money.
It's okay.
Okay.
And we have lots of stories.
And do you know, when we got to the airport, it was Ezeiza Airport in Buenos Aires, a brother was standing there with our names or a card or something.
Yeah. And we hadn't called anybody.
Now, I mean, we had a hookup with people up there, contacts and
well,
everything.
Sure,
we already had
on the field,
an
didn't
apartment
know when
because
we
did a
in.
Prelim trip and everything. I mean, so we had a place
no
to
idea.
Go to and everything. But they didn't know the flight we were going to be on. They did not know the exact day we were coming. I don't know how they found out. I still to this day do not know how they found out or if they found out or if God just told them, you
and,
know?
And, you know, and also is the vehicle they brought with
the
them.
The vehicle they brought was a pickup truck that was just big enough for the three of us to sit with the two kids in our laps and the driver, okay, because there was an Argentine driver, and enough room in the back for our 16 pieces of luggage.
For all our boxes.
How we knew that we needed something like that.
That's how we got 5 hours away.
And so we drove 5 hours from there, from Buenos Aires to Santa Fe, and got up there, and praise God.
Yeah. Amen.
And then we got up there. And it was the hottest day of the year. It was like a record-breaking day. I think it was 40 degrees Celsius, whatever that comes out to. It's like over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. No air conditioning. Nobody had air. Very few people had air conditioning. So Pastor Cabrera, who was at the time, he
You're getting
he
had, into too much detail
okay,
now.
Okay.
I'm getting sidetracked from my
Anyway,
message.
They brought over a fan, one of those big window fans, and we put it there, and all four of us laid with our heads as close to that fan as we could, and anyway, we made it through the night. But it
give me that. Too much detail.
But God,
yes, he did. God provided. But here's the thing. What I'm saying is God has a way, the providence of God, the timing of God. I mean, David came on this camp, and it was just at their most vulnerable. I mean, here they're all out drunk and partying and everything, and I mean, he comes down on them, and you read it there. It says, man, I mean, it was just a killing field. He destroyed it, and it says that he got back everything that had been taken away, he got back. Listen, that's what God wants to do with your worst day. With your worst day, he wants to restore to you everything that's been taken from you. He wants you to see the grace of God, the providence of God, the timing of God. He wants to see that. I'm telling you, when you see that, when that happens in your life, it builds a confidence in you. Bless God, I'm telling you, you're just like, and people think, oh, he's so prideful. No, I'm just confident in God. If we can't be confident in God, we're in trouble. We're in deep trouble. Isn't that right? Paul said, if you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. That's all I'm doing. I'm boasting in the Lord. And that's the fifth thing and the last thing is give God the glory in your victory. Give God the glory in your victory. Verse 21, it said, then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and were left behind. They came out to meet David and the people with him. And as David and his men approached, he greeted them. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers, see, nothing's changed, has it? Because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we've recovered. Now, see, that's a bad attitude after God's just given you a glorious victory. Don't be your stingy thing. Like what? One brother said, God don't bless stinginess. Listen, just a little side note here. How does a farmer get increase? By just keeping all the grain he's got in that barn. Locking the barn, putting a triple padlock on it. Posting guards around it so nobody can get in and get any. No, he'll keep what he's got, but he ain't going to increase. Is he? I said, is he? No. See, the only way you're going to increase is what? Is if you sow. He said here, as David and his men, well, I read that. He said, they didn't go out with us. However, each of them may take his wife and children. But David replied, now notice, here's the right added response in victory. No, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. See, they were thinking they had done it. He has protected us and handed over to us the forces that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the men who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as those that went down to battle. All will share alike. And not only that, in verse 26, it says, when David arrived in Ziklag, he sent some of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends, saying, here is a present for you from the plunder of the Lord's enemies. Glory to God. So that you can say, here, listen, bless God, I got, man, God bless me. He gave me victory in this area. I have such victory, I want to share it with you. Here, have some of this. Take some of that. We wonder why David was so blessed. You look at him. Man, David, he wasn't some stingy guy. He wasn't some guy that would take all the credit. I did this and I did that and I'm great and look at me and all that. No, he said, the Lord did this. Look what the Lord has done. And when we get victory in our life, listen, share it with others. Amen. Share what you did on your worst day. How did you get the victory? How did you get out of that? Share the blessings that God brought to you. What to do on the worst day of your life? Hallelujah. Simple, I know, simple. But listen, if you do this, your worst day can turn into your best day. Absolutely. Basic things. When you have your worst day, the first thing is what? Quiet your emotions. Isn't that right? One of the best ways to do it is start worshiping God. Worshiping God. Don't make decisions out of your emotions. They will lead you wrong. Then what? Seek the Lord. Get into the Word. What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God? What does the promise of God say? Then get in prayer. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He will lead you and guide you. And you will begin to see divine providence and timing of God lay hold. And whatever it is you need, whether it's finances or a person or a situation or a truck or whatever it is, I'm telling you, God knows where it is. Man, God can have things set up. He can maneuver it in there. Arthur, man, bam. When you get there, he's waiting on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, that's what Abraham found out, didn't he? And he said, he recognized this attribute about God. He said, you're Jehovah Jireh. You know what that Jireh part meant? It meant the Lord who sees ahead down the road and has that provision ready when you get there. By the time I get there, ta-da. Boy. See, that turns your worst day into your best day. Amen. I tell you, Cindy and I could tell you story after story. And I'm sure you can share it too. Story after story where God did this for us. And you know, some worst days are worse than other worst days. Some are kind of medium worst days. Some are really worst days. But you know what? The principle is the same. The power of God is the same to deliver, whether it's your worst day or just a worst day. Turn it into a best day by doing these simple principles we've talked about. Amen? Hallelujah. Here's what I want to do. Anybody, you say, we're not going to ask you what it is or anything, but you just say, I'm in one of those worst days. Just stand up. Don't be afraid. Listen, is anybody in here ever had a worse day? Just raise your hand for the testimony of these rest. I'd raise both feet if I could. If I had six arms, I'd raise them. So you don't feel like, oh, what are people going to think? Are they going to think what? You're just like the rest of us. Not that we're rejoicing in your worst day, but here's the thing. You're in something that we've been into. And we know this. We'll have another one. I'm not looking forward to it, but we'll have another one. But here's the thing. We can learn what to do. And I just want, I want to pray for you, but I want to encourage you. You know, take what you've heard today. Go home this afternoon. For a little while. And go back over this. Say, okay, Holy Spirit, you show me. Show me what Brother Norris was talking about. How do I apply this right now to the worst day I'm in? Where am I at? Am I where David was, where I just cried myself out? I mean, you kind of get this picture where those men had cried themselves out. Is that they had, they probably... You know, I know how men, a group of men are. They'd probably try to think about what all they could do. Man, they'd come up with the plans and schemes and everything. Well, what if we didn't? Nah. Well, what if? No. Right. They had just given out of any kind of answers. They had no answers. They were just wore out. And you know, sometimes when you're in the worst day, it has a way of just wearing you out, doesn't it? So I want to, the main thing I want to pray for you is I want to pray for strength for you right now. But I want you to make this commitment that you go home this afternoon and you'll take some time and you'll just take these simple, these are simple principles. Nothing very, real profound here. Take these things and look and say, okay, where am I at? Am I at a place of discouragement? Then, you know, maybe what I need to do is I need to start encouraging myself in the Lord. I need to put the Word of God in my mouth. I need to start praising God. Not just at church, but at home. In my automobile. I need to, you know, even looking at that news, which is imperfect on its best day, turn that stuff off for a while. Turn it off for a while. And just get in the Word of God. And just begin to worship. Begin to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Begin to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Or maybe you're doing that, but you're at a place where I need wisdom, God. I need some direction. I need to see what would you have me to do? Is there something I need to do? I'm willing to wait right here if that's what you want me to do. But if there's something you want me to do, God, you show me. You show me. Or maybe God's spoken a word to you already and you just need to step out and do what God's leading you to do. God, what God's telling you to do, and find divine providence meeting you there. To find out that God is already ahead of you. And man, when you get there, ta-da! You ever had a surprise party? Birthday party? If you haven't, everybody needs to have one at least one time in their life. What?
I want to amplify something. You know, he's talking about putting on the garment of praise. You have to put on the garment of praise. It has to be a conscientious effort on your part, okay? You have to put it on when you don't feel like putting it on. I remember, find a song that ministers to you. I mean, I want you to go home and do this, okay? Find a song that ministers to you. Brother Gil gave me a tape way back when I was going through this, and I don't even know if you guys know this song. And I want to say this song because this is what I used to do. I used to go in my kitchen when nobody was looking. If you don't do it at home, you won't do it here.
You better know it.
And I used to, I want you to just close your eyes for a minute, okay? And I'm gonna sing this song. Now, don't concentrate so much on the melody, but on the words, okay? It's based on Scripture. And it says, Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast removed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness.
Yes.
Therefore my soul will sing praise to thee and not be silent, and not be silent. Therefore my soul will sing praise to thee and not be silent forevermore. And then it went faster and faster, and I was, you know, and I didn't feel like it, and I was weak, but I did it. And the more I did it, the more strength I had, the more joy I had. I had breakthrough. By the time I was done, I was weeping.
Amen.
God did something in me during that time. And I wanted to share it with you guys too. Find something like that. I'm not saying it has to be that song, but a song that ministers to you. And you play that song when nobody's home. And you get in your quiet place, your closet, your kitchen, I don't care, or out in the living room if nobody's home. And you just worship the Lord.
Yeah.
And if you can't dance very much, do the shuffle, you know. Do something.
Do something.
You know. And it's just you and God.
Do something.
And it's like you're declaring your victory before God. And you're speaking to God. And God, I'm going to praise you no matter what.
Amen.
Okay. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
Good, baby. Now, we're gonna pray for those standing. Now, to those who are not standing, let me say this. You, of course, you see your brothers and sisters here. Listen, I'm charging you as the pastor here. You encourage these people in the Lord. Okay? Don't go up to them, bless your heart, you're going to. No, don't you dare do that. You confirm, hey, God's going to see you through. God is greater. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We're standing with you. I'm in agreement with you. I'm right there in the battle. I'm in the foxhole with you. I'm going to climb in there with you. We're going to see this thing through because we're connected. We're family. We're blood related. Amen? Amen. Those of you that are standing out there, if you would, just lift your hands a moment. Now, Father, you see the hand. You see these people. Oh, God, you've already seen them. Lord, I know these people. They've already been crying out to you. But, Father, I pray, oh, God, that the word that I've ministered to today, a simple word, but, Lord, I know you gave it to me. I know it was for this time and for this gathering together. I pray that word will find root. It will encourage. It will strengthen. It will give wisdom to some, Father. And I pray, in addition to that word finding root, I pray that you would strengthen them. Strengthen them by the spirit of might and power in their inner man. Father, that they will continue to be rooted and grounded in their faith in Christ Jesus. They will not be moved. They will not be moved by circumstance. No matter what the enemy has done, I thank you, Lord, they're going to begin to worship. They're going to begin to encourage themselves in the Lord. They're going to get the wisdom of God. They're going to put the word of God in their mouth. They're going to see the divine providence of God. They're going to see the deliverance of God come forth in their lives. In Jesus' name. Lord, the rest of us here as brothers and sisters, we commit ourselves before you. We're going to stand with them. We're going to encourage them. Father, you can speak to our hearts. Lord, any way that we can help them, we're committed to helping them. We're with them in the battle. We're with them in their worst day. We're with them, oh God. We're not going to be like those evil men of David who said, well, they deserve it. They oughtn't to. No, we're going to be like David. We're going to be gracious. We're going to be, Father, because we know our day is going to come someday. And we want those, Father, to stand with us. Father, bless them. May your grace be mightily upon them now, oh God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, everybody, if you would now, please stand. Just before we go, I know it's 12:15, but before we go, I don't want to let you go. Perhaps there's someone here, you've never experienced the forgiveness of sins that comes by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that every one of us have sinned and fallen short of God's mark, God's perfection. We all fall short of it. And that the only way to God is through faith in Jesus Christ. And so I want to give you an opportunity. The Bible says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord Jesus, who will call on him to save them and to forgive them. He said that God will not turn you away. You're here this morning. You say, Pastor, I want to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that I belong to God. I want to pray for you. Anywhere in the room, just lift your hand up kind of high so I can see you. Anyone in the room? I see it. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Father, you see this hand, oh God. And Lord, as they call on you out of a sincere heart, the best way they know how, God, as they call upon you to be saved, to come into their life, to change them, to give them a brand new start, to forgive their sin. I add my faith together with them, oh God. And I thank you that in Jesus' name, you are saved now. Your sins are forgiven you now. That Jesus is come into your life to give you a brand new start and a brand new beginning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Jennifer, why don't you come up here, honey? We're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time together that we've had, for the word you've spoken to us, for the encouragement we've received by being in your presence and with one another. Thank you, oh God. Come on up here, sweetie. Thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon us, that you're going to use us, oh God, for good. You're going to use us, oh God, for blessing. Father, this church, your hand is upon us. Use us this week as we go about our business, oh God. I bless the people, and I thank you, Lord, for the good reports as people turn their worst day into their best day for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.